Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Professor Jennifer Curtin this morning. Kia ora, Jennifer. How are you doing?
I'm good. Kia ora.
We've got some big ones to talk about today. We'll get to the protest happening in Pōneke in a minute, but let's start with Waitangi Day because, I mean, that is in many ways the most topical thing that's happening at the moment. And there's been some interesting discussions this year, what with it looking nothing like a Waitangi Day we've ever seen before, thanks to COVID. It was also brought up some conversations around whether we're ready to be a republic yet in Aotearoa. The Māori Party's calling for it. We're seeing quite a lot of support for that particular call, and it's coincided with the 70th anniversary of Queen Elizabeth's coronation. What is your take on it? Do you think we're ready? Do you think we'll see it at some point in the future? What's your reckons there?
Well, I mean, the Colmar Brunton poll that came out last year that asked the question about whether New Zealanders wanted to be a republic showed that there was really only about 24% or 21% support for that, 47% of people don't support it, and then there's a real healthy dose of don't know. So there's still some convincing to be done. I mean, I think the challenge here is we need to think about asking Māori separately, do they want to be, a republic? Because when we ask, put polls in the field and so on, really, we're really only getting the majority population voice, rather than recognising what minority populations might want. And certainly we look, this double coinciding is an important moment to have this conversation. We've been here before. Peter Sharples raised a constitutional review and ran that when John Key was in office, although, you know, while John Key wanted to change the flag, he also brought back, you know, Sirs and Dames and, you know, those sorts of things. So still sort of, you know, a little bit knee-bending to the monarchy. So we're not likely to see any movement on this soon, but conversations are a really good way to start. Ardern, Longy, Clark, Bolger, really openly Republican, but not yet prepared to take a stand to run a referendum on this. And running a referendum on this is a really big deal, and usually you need cross-party support and a real good education campaign and a model that we would move to if it was, passed.
Now, you have a particular interest in the sort of Australian example. What is it about that that's interesting to you, and is it relevant to us here in Aotearoa?
Well, in a way, I think it is. I mean, what happened in the 1970s was under Gough Whitlam, who was the Progressive Labor Prime Minister, he was sacked from his role as Prime Minister by the Governor-General. And this was deemed a constitutional crisis, that when the Queen's representative could step in and sack an elected Prime Minister, there would be something wrong with the constitutional arrangements. And since then, the letters between the Governor-General and the Crown show that the Governor-General at the time, Kerr, was actually acting as if he had significant power, and he was interested in unseating Whitlam for a range of reasons. And so even though we haven't had that same constitutional crisis here, we did see there it provoked Republican sentiment quite strongly, and they were at a tipping point in the 1980s, just before Charles and Diana went and visited, and we've seen this episode on The Crown, and then Bob Hawkes really thinks that he's going to be able to get this Republican, you know, fervour up and running and get a republic put in place, and then half of Australia falls in love with Lady Diana, and that sort of comes the cropper, and Malcolm Turnbull tries in 1999. So if there is a constitutional crisis in New Zealand, which could potentially happen, or it's some kind of stalemate because of coalition politics, we need to know that how that is managed is something that's, looked after, I suppose, by a New Zealand way of doing this work, and one that recognises Indigenous people as an important part of that process, rather than, you know, the Governor General having to write to the Queen and get permission.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll be very interesting to follow how, I guess, the Māori Party's calls play out, and also, yeah, as the Prime Minister has said, she thinks it'll happen in her lifetime, maybe not in the near future, but it will certainly be interesting to see how over the next few years that might, public sentiment around that might change. Let's talk about the protest happening in Pōneke. It's the second day that anti-mandate protesters have been outside Parliament. It's getting a little bit, I mean, it seems to be fairly tame at the moment, but unpleasant interactions going on and a lot of civil disruption happening down there. It's a small minority, this group, but do we need to be worried about it? We're seeing a little bit of the rhetoric, or a lot of the rhetoric, from overseas, particularly the Canadian truckers protest, bleeding into this. Is it something we should be concerned about here in Aotearoa?
Well, I think we have to remember that, you know, a core kernel of a good working democracy is that we all have the right to protest, and the right freedom of expression, freedom of association is a really important principle. And as you say, well, what we know about a lot of mass protests, assuming we could call this mass, is that there are always some, in, you know, a small section in a bigger group that may want to stir up activism that goes beyond peaceful activism, if you like, or peaceful protest. I mean, I think the challenge here is that the police are trying to keep it calm. They're not going to want people to sort of break through barriers and charge at Parliament House. We know that people are worried and feeling intimidated in that area, but mm-hmm. also more broadly around Wellington. We also know that what they're doing is actually preventing other democratic processes from taking place. For example, we know that there's petitions and so on being delivered to Parliament today on a range of really important issues, you know, meetings with ministers by people doing other kinds of advocacy, and it's really not clear whether they're going to be able to get through and feel comfortable about going through to see ministers. So they're almost preventing democratic, you know, democracy in action as well. So and one Victoria University academic mentioned that he wondered whether or not the police would, and others, law and order folks, would be quite as calm and reasonable about it if it was an environmental protest or yeah. some other protest group doing this. But for now, I think we're at the start of day three this morning. There are some issues around cars blocking streets and rubbish building up. This is obviously going to have to be dealt with, but the police certainly are not going to want to provoke anything happening, because that's just, you know, bringing fuel to the fire in terms of getting more media coverage, and a lot of New Zealanders are asking for the media coverage just to kind of settle a bit now so that they're not given the airtime that they were getting before.
It is an interesting one. I mean, it will be interesting to see how it plays out. I guess there's been some concerns as well about, we've seen across the world how the pandemic has been in many ways used as a Trojan horse for some slightly more sinister politics to come through, particularly when it comes to the far right. We saw it with the Capitol riots in America. We're seeing actually, you know, fragments of this happening in the UK at the moment as well. It's not something necessarily that this is equivalent to, but there definitely seems to be, as you mentioned, elements of like different politicking happening underneath the guise of mandate protesting, and it will be interesting to see how it's responded to eventually by law enforcement or by politics in general. So we'll be keeping an eye on that one. I did want to get your thoughts just briefly before we let you go, though, Jennifer, on, since we've seen a few polls this week about how the different political parties are tracking in Aotearoa, I wanted to get your reckons around what the media response to Chris Luxon as leader of the National Party has been like. He has done not too badly in the polls, considering, I guess, the ground that they've had to cover as the National Party in recent times. But are the media giving him perhaps too much credit for not necessarily doing a lot at the moment? What do you think about that?
Well, first, I think there's been a bit of a vacuum of interesting political things to say for the media. So they've just been hanging out for the first day of Parliament. They really want polls in the field so they've got something more to talk about than COVID and Ardern and Omicron. And they've wanted to see him in action, you know, that, and he hasn't really featured in a poll in a meaningful way since November last year. And we know that polls drive, you know, polls are useful news tools, if you like, if nothing else is going on. So, and they'll also be really pleased to see that he's been able to bring National back into the 30s, because they can talk about it again now using those metaphors. Oh, the race is on. We're in the last year before we move into an election year. You know, is he going to hold it together? We had the anti-conversion therapy second reading. He, unlike Collins, let the party take a conscience vote on that. He himself supported the second reading. So he's trying to demonstrate a different style of leadership. And what the opinion writers now are doing is being able to sort of latch on to his speeches in Parliament, his questions of Ardern, and it just does. It means that they don't have to write about Grant Robertson or, you know, the COVID stuff or Ardern's leadership. So I think they will feel kind of relieved, actually, that this is a positive sign for National.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow as well. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Professor Jennifer Curtin. It's always great to have
you
on the show. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks. Take care.
You too.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Professor